Hello and welcome to your Camp Fishing Tape. Yes, it's February already, and in fact we've had the first week of February, so I thought it was about time that I thought of doing your new tape for February. And I've had to kind of find a time to squeeze it in, so I have done, and I should be telling you all about that in a moment. I've actually, as I'm sitting here this afternoon, I've just got back from speaking in Reading at the DCF meeting there. So I raced back from there, and I've come back, and I'm now doing your Come Fishing Tape. So it's good to be sharing with you once again. And at the moment, and I'm saying at the moment because you all know what the weather's been like, the moment the sun is shining. So I think we should start with one of the most favourite popular hymns that we have. We're going to start with it, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Grand. This is my story. Yes, the story of our life with Jesus. And isn't that lovely the way they finished that off? Really giving it a great crescendo. and really sing about it as if they meant it. That's brilliant. What a lovely start we've had today, haven't we? Well, now, I don't expect any of you are surprised to know that as I drive around this area, as you know, I live very close to the River Thames, and as I was driving around today, I was amazed at all the fields that are underwater and how high the river is up against the some of the people who live very close to the river. They're not actually flooded yet, but hopefully they won't be. I did see one boatyard totally afloat, but we've had floods on the roads as well, haven't we? And yeah, there seems to have been a lot of flooding around. And I think as we say our prayers, you know, we must remember these people who've been really badly flooded. I hope none of you are affected like that. If you are, do let us know, because we can certainly be praying for you in the office when we have our prayer times at the beginning of the day. And we would be more than happy to do that. In fact, it's a privilege to pray for people. So do let us know. If you have any need, or it doesn't just have to be about the floods, anything that you would like prayer for, please do let us know. You only have to give us a ring or send us an email, and you can get in touch with us in that way. The email, by the way, is just very simple. It's jenny@throughtheroof.org, and throughtheroof.org is all in lowercase and all through the roof, all one word, dot and then O-R-G. So it's very simple, really. Or you can, of course, can give us a ring. So the floods, yes, they've dominated the news, haven't they, for a long time now. And I do pray soon that will abate and things will get better. But today, it's been a funny day. One moment it's absolute torrential rain. The next moment it's brilliant sunshine. And it really is extraordinary. As I'm looking out at the moment, it's lovely sunshine. And you wouldn't know that there'd been, about 10 minutes ago, there was an absolute torrential downpour. But at the moment, it's really fine out there. And it's actually quite busy out there. Because the birds are really, they've really settled in this year. You know, I think they've forgotten all about the disruption of the building. And once again, Invercross has become their home. And I've had lots and lots of lovely birds. There's two pairs of jays, and although I don't like their habits, I do love the look, their colours, and beautiful birds to look at. I've had nuthatches, blue tits, goldfinches, robins, parakeets, of course, blackbirds, thrushes, sparrows, all so many of the lovely birds that always used to come before the building work started, and they all seem to have come back, which is absolutely brilliant, isn't it? Sad to say the squirrels are still here, though, and every now and then the feed, I come through and I can see a squirrel sitting on top of the bird feed thing, looking all, you know, all nonchalant. Why shouldn't I be here, so to speak? He looks at me through the window, because he knows very well I can't get at him through the window. And he just carries on munching. Well, anyway, the birds are also coming, so that's what, I don't want the squirrels to frighten them off. But they aren't at the moment, squirrels aren't at the moment, so that's good. The squirrels are actually courting, I've been told, at the moment. I was wondering why they were all chasing round each other, round and round the trunks of the trees, leaping over the branches, and seeming to have a great time, but apparently that's how they do their courting. So anyway, very soon we should have baby squirrels around, presumably. I'm thinking of babies. I think we ought to pray for the farmers, don't you? Because it's coming up to lambing time, and if they haven't got fields to put their lambs in, they're going to really have such a problem, aren't they? So do remember them in your prayers as well, because it would be a shame not to have lambs in the fields, wouldn't it, leaping around. The other good thing, I guess, is that it hasn't been too cold, has it? And looking at my plants, all my clematises are absolutely brimming with buds. And I don't know about you, but I look at my plants a lot and very frequently. And I watch and wait for something new to happen. And they really are absolutely laden with buds, the clematises. And I'm sure other things will start popping up. Round our roundabouts, we've got daffodils. Once again, making roundabouts look very, very pretty and bright yellow as we go round those. And the snowdrops are lovely. So the plants are still doing brilliantly, even though it has been so wet. What else has happened? Yes, I got myself a box to put on the wall. A box to hold all my keys. This new flat of mine has got so many doors and so many little bits and bobs that need locking. See, I've got I've got the kitchen doors. I've got a door in both bedrooms, so that's three doors. And then there's the front door, and then there's the shed door. And yes, I got all these different keys. So I thought, well, it'd be quite good to actually hide them away, but put them somewhere where I knew they were, so that I know where to go when I want my keys. So I bought a key box. So after I finish doing my tape here, I should be putting that key box up on the wall so that I can get my keys hung up and all tidied away. It's rather a smashing one, really. It's made of wood and it's got a big keyhole in the front. So that'll be quite nice. And the other good thing, those of you who visited my flat will know that the automatic front door that I had, yeah, it was brilliant. It opened brilliantly, let you in, but it closed so quickly it nearly shot you out again. Well, the man came yesterday and he's mended that and he's put me a new contraption on the front door, so I've got a key fob now. So every time I want it to close, I can close it myself at whatever time I want it, rather than it automatically closing and shooting us out again. So that's good, isn't it? Well, I've nattered and nattered, haven't I, and the tape is going on. We're going to have another song now, and we're going to have it's a very old one. It's also quite a long one, but it's I think it's one that we should sing more often. We used to sing years and years ago, I remember. And the message that it gives is really very plain. It's all about trusting the Lord. And so those of you who are of an age, you will remember this one very, very well. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That was good, wasn't it? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. How true that is, isn't it? And later on the other side of the tape, we're going to be thinking a bit about people who did trust and obey. So that's very apt, really. I hadn't really worked that out beforehand, but anyway, there we are. We are going to be doing some of that. Right, now, so what else have I got to say? A couple of things. I need your help. Some of you have got really good stories to tell. Now, that's stories about your life, or testimonies, we sometimes call it, don't we? But sometimes things happen in our lives as we go along, not just the testimony of how we came to know the Lord Jesus, but maybe times when prayer has been answered and we've been really blessed. Now, we'd like to share some of these times with other people, but I do want to be able to gather as many as possible stories of how your prayers have been answered. Now, that may not be your prayers, it might be somebody else's. Maybe you know someone who you've been praying for and the answer has been given. Now, it doesn't have to be of something huge like cancer, although that's brilliant, but if it's something little, maybe, then I'm sure you can think of ways in which you have had an answer to prayer. Safety on a journey, something like that. Now, I'd like to know these. I wonder whether you could get them written down for me. It doesn't have to be very long. In fact, I don't particularly want long ones. I just want answers to prayer. And I need your name and your permission to use your story if I do actually put it into the little book that I'm going to be writing. So, can you think of those for me? I know many of you have had lots of times when the Lord has really answered prayers. And as I say, it may be something very, very simple. I remember somebody once ringing up and asking for us to pray so that she could remember that when she'd used the oven, she always turned it off again. And so we prayed about that, and she rang up a few weeks later and said, "It's really worked. I do remember to turn the oven off now." See, little things like that. So if you've got something like that you can share with us, with me particularly, please do get somebody, or you jot it down and send it off to me, and I'd love to have it. Be very, very pleased to have it. Now, the other thing that I've been working hard on recently is the holiday program. Many of you have been on holiday, I know, with us. This year we're going once again down to Babbacombe in Devon, and that's a lovely holiday, again, right by the sea, so I hope it stops raining, don't you? But it's right by the sea, and do lots of nice things. You go out for an excursion, and you have lots of nice times with ice creams and various other things that go along with holidays. Now, that's at the end of June, beginning of July. So if you would like to come on that holiday, you need to get ring us up so that we send you a form to apply. But we're also having another holiday at Treloar, Lord Mayor Treloar's school in Hollybourne. It used to be in Alton, but it's in Hollybourne now. They've moved premises. And we're going to have an activity holiday there. It's only Monday to Friday, so it's not too long. And there's going to be lots and lots of different things to do on that holiday. Some of them will be things like cycling and swimming. And yes, they are all suitable for those with disabilities. So we'd love to have you along to try some of these things that we've got ready and waiting for you, and we're working up towards. It's going to be a brilliant time all together for those 4 days at Treloar College. So I would like to have more people coming, but I'd also like more helpers. So if you know anyone who'd like to help on that 4-day holiday, then please do get in touch. We'd love to have you along with us as well. That would be brilliant. It's always nice to have new people on our holidays. So think about it, get in touch with us, and come along and join with us. Get to know us a bit better. Meet up with some of the staff as well, so you get to know them rather than just having them on the end of a phone or a picture in the Vital Link. Pete, who does the Vital Link for us tomorrow, or he may actually have gone today, actually, I think, has gone to America for 2 weeks. He married a lady who is American, and so they're going over to see her mum. So he won't be here for 2 weeks, but what a wonderful holiday he's going to have, isn't he? And hopefully he will be going into better weather than we've got here. Well, I think it's time for another song. And this time we're going to a different kind of song, totally. It's called Songs of Fellowship for Kids. And some of these songs you won't necessarily know, but some of the words are brilliant. And they teach children some of the passages from Scripture and also teach them different lessons as they sing them. And it's really quite a lively song that we're going to be playing. So listen along with them, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it just as much as, well, at least you'll enjoy it. I don't know whether you enjoy it more than the ordinary hymns, but you will enjoy this. So listen along. Well, what did you think of that? That's the boys and girls singing, Heaven is in my heart. I didn't bait you, but I didn't catch all the words, which was rather a shame. But I hope that you got most of it. But it's rather a nice thought, actually. I was thinking, as that was playing, heaven is in your heart, isn't it? That's where you keep your love for the Lord. That's where you keep all your you, the person that's you. And So why shouldn't heaven be in our hearts? So that's really rather beautiful, I think. And so perhaps we can just remember that heaven is in our hearts. And I'm sure the boys and girls loved singing along with that. I seem to have got quite a number anyway, of children's songs like that. So if any of you do like them, then we could certainly play another one at another time from the boys and girls. Well, very soon it'll be time for you to turn your tape over and for the CD people to have a little bit of a break. We're going to be looking at a passage of scripture on the other side, as we usually do, and this time we're going to be just dipping in to the book of Hebrews. Some of you may find that quite difficult to find. I don't know whether you do listen, follow it on your Bibles, but if you do, then Hebrews is at the back of your Bible. To give you an idea, on my Bible it's page 1209. So it'd be lovely if you can follow along, but in a moment we're going to turn over and start looking at something there. I've just been looking out of the window, and the wind is now very, very strong. It's extraordinary. And there's also a parakeet sitting on the bird thing trying to hold on, because the wind's so strong, it's throwing him around all over the place. And he's a bit of a Houdini, this one. He's actually upside down on the seed thing, clinging on with one hand so that he can actually get at the seed. So, yeah, they're quite clever, these parakeets. In fact, I think animals generally are quite clever, really, aren't they? In fact, there are two of them. One's just looked at me as if to say, hello, fancy seeing you. So, anyway, we'll leave the parakeets to eat away and get on with their lunch. And we'll turn the tape over, and those of you with a CD, you just have a little bit of a gap, and then we'll go straight in to looking at a passage from the Bible. So turn your tape over now. Welcome back to this side of your tape. And those of you with the CD, welcome back as well. We're going to go straight into looking at a passage of scripture. I heard something which really kind of hit me the other day. I don't know about you, but sometimes things do just seem to ring a bell and stay with you for a while when you hear them. Maybe you've heard it before, but this time I don't think I have actually heard this before. It was said in a service that I was in, and it struck me, and I thought about it, I wrote it down so that I wouldn't forget it, and I keep thinking about it. And it says this, it's very simple really: hope is a thing of extraordinary power. Hope is a thing of extraordinary power. And I thought, you know, that is just amazing, isn't it? The power that there is in hope. And as Christians, we have a hope. We have a hope that those who do not know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour do not have. What is our hope? Well, our hope is something that is promised us. It's the hope of being with the Lord Jesus, seeing him face to face, of being in heaven with him and sharing heaven with him, of being able to just talk to him and share things with him as we can't do here on earth. That's our hope. And remember in Jeremiah that lovely verse, it says that God has plans for us, for a hope and a future. So there we go with the hope again. Hope is the thing of extraordinary power. So I want us to think a little bit about what that kind of hope brings with it. Hope is something that we mention quite a lot, don't we? We say it in a sentence very easily. I hope it gets fine soon. I hope it stops raining soon. We've said that a lot, haven't we? Hope. Hope. What does hope mean? It's something that we're looking forward to. Something that we want to happen. Something good that we want to happen. It's a thing of extraordinary power, particularly when it's a hope that is related to our Christian faith, because it has God at the helm, because it has God and the Lord Jesus Christ at the top, in charge of it, if you like, in charge of the hope that we are longing for, that is going to be a thing of extraordinary power. And power comes in many different ways, doesn't it? I was thinking, in what way does power come? Well, a train has just gone past, and the power of that train going along, if anything was in its pathway, would kill it flat. That is power. The power of the bulldozer, the power of the demolition machine, got that word wrong, didn't I? Demolition machine. The power of human faith. The power of hope. The power that comes with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? When you think of what power really is in the Christian sense. Of course, you can get power that isn't so good. And that's when it is used in the wrong context. It's played out of tune with everything else, and people go down the route of wanting power, of desiring power and gaining it by any way that they can. That is not the power I'm talking about. The power I'm talking about is the power that comes with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power that comes by knowing God. The power that comes by walking with him. And this led me to a very, very famous chapter in the Bible. It's chapter 11 of Hebrews. It's known as the faith chapter. And it's very obvious when you read it why it's known as the faith chapter. Because this chapter goes through all the people from the Old Testament who have had a hope. And because they've had a hope in God, they have seen the power of God work by their faith. Now, faith is believing in something you cannot see. Faith is taking a risk. But they've done this, believed in something they cannot see. They've taken the risk because they know and love God, and they know that as they go through whatever they're going to do, they will have the power, that indescribable power behind them, because it is the extraordinary power of God before them. So I just want to look at one or two people who are mentioned here. First of all, the very first verse of Hebrews 11 says this: now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Let me say that again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So hope, in this context, is looking ahead. Things that we hope are going to happen. And what makes it certain? That even though we can't see it, we continue to hope for it? It's the extraordinary power of our God. So faith is a mixture. Faith is believing in something you cannot see, or doing something that you don't know where it's going to lead you, but being confident of doing it, being confident of going ahead, because of that extraordinary power of God that you're going to have on your side. That word, hope. And so the Old Testament is peppered with people who had this kind of faith, who would do something and follow the Lord, follow God, obey God to such an extent that it was actually recorded for us to know now. And as we go through Hebrews 11, so many people are mentioned, but I'm going to only talk about one or two of them, because we could spend many, many different come fishing tapes on this whole chapter. But I want us to think about some of those that we're more familiar with, those people we're more familiar with, perhaps. And the first one is Noah. Now, Noah is a grand example of living by faith. For other words, believing and trusting in God, knowing that God will lead him and look after him, knowing God's protection, but also being in communication with God in such a way that he not only knows God is there, but he hears God, and he has conversations with God. And in one conversation, God gives him a real challenge. In fact, it's not so much a challenge as an order, but I think it's a challenge as well. Because you remember what God did, don't you? God told Noah what was going to happen in the future. God showed Noah a picture of what the world was going to come to. It was going to rain. And it was going to rain as it had never, ever rained before. Now, we think we have got floods, but we haven't had the floods that came in Noah's day. Noah was told of floods to come by God, but Noah didn't question it when God said, you know, for your family and the animals to be saved, you need to build a boat. Now, this was quite extraordinary because Noah lived in the desert. And as you know, water is very hard to come by in the desert. So the last thing that anybody requires when they live in the desert is a boat. But there was plenty of wood around. And God was very certain how this boat was to be built, because he gave Noah all the plans for it. He let Noah know exactly how big it was going to be, how it was going to be built, and what it was going to be built of. And he set Noah the task of doing this. Now, I don't know, but and I don't know how many neighbours one has in the desert, and it may have been very different in those days, mind, but just imagine what people around him must have thought. As with his toolbox, Noah goes out and gathers wood. That's not unusual. But what happens next is unusual. Noah starts to build, in his back garden, so to speak, a huge boat we would call an ark, a refuge for two of each animal and bird and insect, a refuge for Noah's family. And it had to be big, had to be strong, It had to be watertight. And it had to be just as God wanted it. And Noah, with his hammer and nails, started making this boat. It took him quite a long time. Different people say it took him different lengths of time, but all agree that it took him years rather than weeks or months. And so, all this time, Noah was doing something which was totally unnecessary at that time, building a boat in the middle of the desert. But why was Noah doing this? Noah was doing it because he believed that what God said stood and that God was in control. And Noah was doing it because not only did he love God, he feared God, but he also believed in God and he had full trust in God. And we sang earlier on, didn't we? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Noah did that. And that's why the history books, the Bible, the great history book, is written with that story of Noah in it. A man who listened to God, who obeyed God, and had that hope of survival as he did this amazing task of building that boat. By faith, Noah took hold of that hope, used that extraordinary power from God to make that amazing boat, and so his family and the animals were saved. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. The next person I thought we'd think about was Abraham. Now, Abraham is mentioned twice in this particular chapter. First of all, in verse 8 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, it reads like this: by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Wow. Read that again. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, Abraham was another person who talked, who communed, who kept in touch with his God. And because of that, God was able to talk to him. God was able to communicate with him and ask him to do things. Abraham became God's servant because he was communicating with him. He was being faithful to him. And so, when God asked Abraham to start moving, to move towards the promised land, Abraham was not told where this promised land was going to be. He was not told where he was going. He was just going to a foreign country. He didn't know where he was going. But in those days as well, we have to remember that when somebody moved, the whole bang shoot of family moved. So not just Abraham went, but his wives went, his cattle went, his children went, his nieces went, his aunts went, his uncles went, his grandpa, granddads, all of the family, every single member of the family, his sheep, his cows, his chickens, his tents, his servants, his camels. Wow! No removal van for Abraham. No. He packed everything up and started walking. No other way to do it. That's how they had to do it in those days. Now, I wonder how many people said to Abraham, okay, we're moving, but where are we going? I don't know, said Abraham, but God does. Now, think about it. Would we do that today? We take so many precautions, don't we? Take insurance out for this and insurance out for that. We have sat navs to guide us. We have maps and compasses. We make sure we've got somewhere to stay every time when we've moved a little bit further on our journey so that we can have a good sleep overnight. Make sure we've always got something to eat. Make sure we've got enough money. All the preparations that go into a journey for us. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. So he couldn't make a majority of these preparations. Abraham simply trusted God. And we get, once again, just like Noah, we have a man who talks to God, who listens to God, and who obeys God. And Abraham was able to do what he did do because of that amazing hope. That hope that came with the extraordinary power of God behind it. But later on, Abraham's mentioned again in verse 11, chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, so he's quite elderly, and Sarah herself was barren, unable to have children, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. Now that sounds a little bit difficult perhaps to understand. Basically what they're saying here is Abraham and Sarah were able to have a child even though they were past the childbearing age because God promised it. God worked a miracle for them. By faith, Abraham believed him, trusted him, and all went ahead. And you remember the son he had? Isaac. Now our friend Abraham goes on to have yet another experience with God. Of course, with Isaac. You remember the story in verse 17? Again, Abraham is mentioned because of his faith. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Now this is the son that was given, promised to him by God in old age, when both of them thought, both Sarah and Abraham thought, they would never ever have any children. Isaac was given to them. Now we hear another story about Abraham. He's given his son as a sacrifice. But Abraham trusted God. He listened to God. He obeyed God, and he trusted God. And we know the outcome, don't we? God provided a sacrifice, and Isaac was saved. But Abraham didn't know that was going to happen. He trusted God and was prepared to go that far to kill his only son for God, whom he loved so much. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Another person that we can talk of in this light was Moses. You know that Moses was able to, well, let's have Let's have a look. And this is verse 24 of chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. By faith, keeps being told about these people. Faith, hope, and charity. Or faith, hope, and love. And all these come from the same stem, from the same root, if you like. They all come from a belief and a trust in God. I think it must have been amazing in those days. You know, people saw so many wonderful miracles. Not just miracles of healing, which they did see, but they saw other things. We sometimes sing about faith that can move mountains. And in the Old Testament, things like that did happen. Remember the burning bush that never burnt. The Red Sea, when they crossed the sea, the sea drew back and allowed them to cross, but closed in when their enemies came. Amazing things, even the flood that was with Noah. Again, an amazing thing. The things that happened in the Old Testament were things that happened because there were people of faith. People who were sure of what they hoped for and certain that that person that they put the hope and trust in would bring about what they had done, they were hoping and trusting in. They believed in God implicitly. No bars, no strings. They believed in God totally, absolutely, totally. We have many other people here in this chapter of by faith. We have Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Joseph was ready to partake, or rather to share, his belief that the Israelites would be out of Egypt. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. All these people did things by faith because they had a hope. A hope that came with that extraordinary power that only God brings with him. In chapter 12, it starts with this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that can so easily entangle us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. For other words, let's look to these people of the Old Testament and learn from them. These people of the Old Testament who didn't have a Jesus to look to, but who believed in the power of God. These are the witnesses of all that happened through that time. And it's described here as a great cloud of witnesses. I love that. I love that because, first of all, it gives us the impression that they are above us. They're in heaven. But they are a great cloud. And we see clouds quite often, don't we? And I love to think that all these people that we talk about so often, and we can include in those people like Jonah and Daniel and Job and many, many others, And the women too, Ruth, Naomi, all these people who trusted in God implicitly in that in the Old Testament stories, they are there witnesses of the wonderful things that came in those all those years. Yes, there were some sad things, and there were some dreadful things happened in the Old Testament. But overall, that hope drove those people to obey. They listened, they talked to God, and they obeyed God. And they went forth with a hope, the hope that comes by believing and trusting in God. That hope that is a thing of extraordinary power. Well, a train has just gone past as I've finished. A thing of extraordinary power. Hope you've enjoyed this tape. I've enjoyed doing it for you. I'm just going to now set myself off and get a cup of tea so that my mouth, that's rather dry at the moment, will be moistened again. And then I'm going to put that key box up. Thing will have died down. You look after yourselves. Don't forget to get in touch if you have any stories of answers to prayer for us. And remember, these don't have to be long stories. They can be simple stories that you can tell us. And it doesn't, you don't have to be disabled to do that. If you know somebody who has a story to tell that will encourage others in their prayer lives, then please do let us know about that as well. Parakeets have gone. I think it must be their tea time, but partly I think because the sun's gone in, the wind has got up again, and it looks as if it may well rain again. So no change in everything there, is there? But the other birds are still around, so that's good as well. So I've been able to watch them while I'm doing your tape, which is rather lovely because, you know, my new desk is right outside where the birds are actually sitting. So I'd say cheerio for now then. God bless.